Happy Friday, everyone. Coming at you, DVD, D-Maze Vingan, and Donick. My road dog on the side of me, Willie Donick. Vingan is out one more day. Is it one more day?
Well, we'll have to see.
Yeah,
we'll need to see.
We'll see how Monday works.
Yeah, Monday. I think he will be back Monday, or it's to be determined.
TBD. We've had some things go on, haven't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, we've had a lot of stuff go on, and you know, obviously, I'm sure some of our listeners have gotten wind of some things that are happening within the station. We've had some changes, or we will be having some changes coming up here very soon. Can I say, like, that we will Monday be?
I think we can
say it.
It's been released.
This is our last day in the midday from 11 to 2. So those of you that listen faithfully from 11 to 2, don't worry, because you can go from 3 to 6 now. You can come on over with us from 3 to 6. You can stay 11 to 2 with Big Joe and Joe and Chase. But I think some timing is moving around.
Right.
But, yeah, so, but you still can listen to the show prior to our new time slot. But now you can just parlay yourself over to the 3 to 6 time slot, which myself, Adam, and Willie will be anchoring the show come Monday.
I think that's a song, come Monday. Now, yeah. I'm not a big Jimmy Buffett fan, but I do know that song.
Yeah.
But, yes, we will be on from 3 to 6 starting Monday. We're really excited about the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Our new lineup is going to include Chase and Big Joe still leading into us. So, you know, you just get to sleep in a little longer.
Yeah, sleep in a little bit longer.
But they're going from noon to 3. We'll go from 3 to 6. And, look, we're excited. We're going to tell you all about it and all of that stuff. But we do want to say,
yes,
with the decision that was made yesterday, that Jared and the station parting ways, that we do wish Jared well.
Yes.
Right? Jared, I put this out on Twitter. I thought about, you know, what did I want to say? Because Jared's been with us for a long time, and he's a good person. Philosophically, stylistically, he and I could not be any more different.
It's like night and day.
Like, we are completely different flavors of ice cream, right? But I did learn some things from him. He is good at what he does, and he's going to be successful. He is going to do good things because he works extremely hard. If you like how he does it, if you don't like how he does it, if you love to hate how he does it, which is, I think, a large portion of people, which makes him effective, he's going to be doing this somewhere. He already is doing it. Mm-hmm. He's got other places that he does his thing. I think he's going to be skillful. So I just want to let people know that I wish him well. I know you feel the same way, too.
Yes. You know, Jared and I have become what I believe friends. You know, and just watching him grow in his business, you know, he's like one of those friends that you meet early on in school, and y'all don't quite mesh. Y'all kind of rub each other the wrong way. But then, as time starts to go, that roughness starts to wear out, and it becomes smooth, and you two become friends. I think that's what it was like with Jared, having the pleasure of doing, you know, the pregames with him. And hearing his insight, and we didn't always agree, but just to hear his insight on certain things, it does, you know, at times it allows you to, you know, question, you know, what you're seeing out there, and if he's seeing things, you know, a way that you should be seeing them. So, again, whether you agree with Jared or not, I think the one thing about him is that he was up front. He was a straight shooter. You may not have liked all his takes. I found his takes rather funny at times, but I learned a lot from him. And Willie, you have, you know, pretty much spelled it out about his work ethic. I haven't seen, you know, a young guy work that hard at what they do in a very long time. And he takes pride in what he does. And again, if it may not always be your cup of tea, how he's presenting, you know, his argument or his opinion, but it's his. And we respected him for that. We made jokes about it. He made jokes at us. You know, he thought some of our, at least mine, my takes were outlandish, and I thought some of his were outlandish. So we always had a really good, I think, at least myself, we always had a really good relationship, you know, and again, it was a pleasure, you know, and not too many times you say that as an older guy, and I think I'm almost 20 years older than Jarrett, but not many times you hear an older guy or older person say, you know, you learned a lot from, you know, someone that is your peer but is much younger than you. And just watching Jarrett do what he does and how he go about his business, I learned that it takes a lot. And, you know, you got to rededicate it, especially when you're doing a show by yourself. You got to make sure you're dedicated to your craft and you're doing exactly what you're supposed to do. And that's one thing I can say about him. He was dedicated, or he is dedicated to his craft. And that is going to open him up many doors as he moves forward. So I want to say personally to Jarrett, good luck. You know, continue to enjoy your family. You got a new one, so continue to enjoy them. And obviously we'll continue to see him around town,
sure,
or whatnot. But I wish him nothing but the best in his endeavors in the future. And I'm sure he will be, I mean, I'm sure he still will be doing his things that he's doing on satellite radio, I believe. But I'm sure, you know, he'll get an opportunity again if he wants it to talk local sports, but mainly sports in general, because that's, he loves sports. He loves the teams here in Nashville. And don't think, and I'm ended by this, don't think that because he talked the way, or his opinions at times were harsh about the teams here, don't think that meant he didn't love the teams here. He loved watching them. He grew up watching them. He's a fan, not just a guy that comes on and gives his opinion, but he's an actual fan of the sporting teams here. And sometimes that can be hard when you're a fan, like he grew up here, and then have to talk about the bad stuff. But he's found a way to do it his own way, but he found it.
And with all that said, it's our job as professionals, mm-hmm, and as competitors, and you and I and Adam are all competitors, it's our job to make the station better. Mm-hmm. So that will be our goal when we go into that time slot from 3 to 6 on Monday through Friday. So I just want everybody to know we're excited, and that's our goal, and we hope that you will follow us. Or at least, you know, go back and listen to, you know, we'll still have all of our podcasting, mm-hmm, tools out there, right?
Yes.
If you're a midday person, mm-hmm, with your schedule, and this is when you listen to the radio live, you can always go back and hear what we have done. We'll do that. But so we're very determined. We're very excited that we get this opportunity. I probably at one time in my career when I was young, mm-hmm, I probably didn't realize how lucky I was for a couple of years, because I think when you're in your low to mid-20s, mm-hmm, you think you know everything.
Yes.
Just like when you're 18, you think you know everything. And then when you're 22, you go, man, I was an idiot when I was 18. But I was in the drive time slot from the get-go, and I was very fortunate to have George Plaster, Joe Biddle, who knocked me down a few pegs, mm-hmm, which I needed. Right, I needed to know that I needed to grow into it some. And so I was in that time slot for a long, long time. And then with all of the things that have evolved with the Predators and everything like that, I ended up in our midday time slot, which has been great for me with where I was with my family and my kids and everything. But, man, I am chomping at the bit to get, mm-hmm, back into the drive time, because it is where you want to be. And so I don't take that for granted. So I am really fired up about the chance to get back in there.
And, you know, people, Jarrett worked extremely hard to make that, you know, 2 to 6 for him. It'd be 3 to 6 for us, to make that 2 to 6 time slot, you know, one of the best, if not the best in the city. I think it was the best in the city. we are now our responsibility, and we're taking this very seriously. Our responsibility is to take what Jared has built up, take it, run with it, and make it even better. And that's what we plan to do. So our listeners, if you're listening from 11 to 2, and you can come over to us after you're finished listening to Big Joe and Chase right before us, please do that. And for the listeners that were listening to Jared, stick with us. We're going to be great. I know you will. So I'm not even worried about that. But we are going to take what Jared has left us, and it's great, and we're going to make it even better. So that's Willie's task, that's Adam's task, and definitely mine as well as David. So we're excited about this time slot. We got a lot of sports to talk about. We were out at practice today, and I don't know if we should start with that, Willie.
I think we should.
Or, yes, I think we should start with that, because today was a padded practice, which wasn't originally on the schedule for whatever reason.
Start with that. When you saw that, what did that tell you or not tell you? And again, this is all from afar. This isn't anything we've heard from the inside. And he did address it this morning.
Yeah.
He just said, look, I think we need – it was the answer, from what I could gauge from what people were writing about, I didn't listen to it, said, hey, I felt like we needed another practice.
Yeah, and based upon – and this is only my opinion – based upon the way – the very first day of practice, and I know some people may dismiss it as, oh, it was the first day, it was hot, this and that. But the very first day of practice, it just seemed like there wasn't any juice. And then I figured, okay, once the pads come on, the energy would ramp up. And when the pads came on, and what I was expecting didn't happen. And then you come back the next day, and it's not any better. There's some better periods, but from an energy standpoint or from just a feeling, it just didn't feel like because I've experienced this. And it just didn't feel – it was something a little bit off. So Brian throws in another practice and a padded practice. And it's typically what that means to me and only me. And from my experience, either one or two things or both simultaneously. One could be simply it's going to be cooler, so let's just throw an extra day of pads in there because it's not as hot. So let's throw an extra day of pads and see if we can get some things going. It could be that, which is okay. I understand that. Take advantage of the weather while you can. Or it could have been, listen, I don't think we got enough out of what we were trying to do energy-wise, you know, the flow of offense. We need to be in pads again. We need to get something going again. And just so happened, you know, the weather is as mild as it has been the last, 2 weeks. So let's go ahead and have a practice. So I could look at it. You can look at it both ways, or one way or the other. I look at it from this standpoint. I didn't think the practices prior to this one today, I think it lacked energy. There was some things that, you know, from a play standpoint they were doing, they didn't flow as well. But that stuff, I think, you know, I'm not going to put too much into that, because a lot of times you don't know exactly what they're doing and what they're trying to accomplish within periods. But the one thing that I've always said, and coaches have told me, listen, you control the energy. You can't control, you know, if the play comes to you or, you know, whatnot, but you can control how you approach it and your energy to the game. It just didn't seem like in prior days that energy was there. And to me, I think that's why you throw in an extra padded practice and you try to get that energy that you were seeking from your team. Today, I was more so concerned, and I said this out on the field. It's not a five-alarm fire sort of panic, but it seems to be just there could potentially be a problem with that brush over there. If you don't get rid of that brush over there,
all right, so
if you don't clear it out on the side of the road, we may have a fire.
Okay,
but so let's clear it out now. and we won't even have to go through the whole thing of getting the fire department out here and everything else. Let's take the push, take it with us, get rid of it.
Okay, so let's come back on that and get into specifics, because the setting was different today. It wasn't as hot. It was breezy. I felt like I was in a different state. I thought I had gone to New Hampshire or something like that. So it was a crisp day. I'm sure guys felt good being out on the field because it has been so hot. And we'll talk about what we saw, because it was different today. Some good, some bad. And we'll get into D. Mace's reference of the brush fire.
Mm-hmm.
The brush fire. Because I can see, I think I know where he's going. We were standing together and watching the same thing. So we'll talk to you about the Titans training camp. Our coverage is presented, by the way, by Macero in 12 South and also Parman Energy Group. You're listening to DVD, D. Mace, Vingan, and Donick here on 102.5 The Game. It's presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. D. Mace, Vingan, and Donick, coming your way from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick and Derek Mason here with you on this Friday. Came fresh off the field over at the Titans training camp, watching a padded practice that was added to the schedule. They'll practice again over the weekend, and then next week it ramps up with the controlled scrimmages, whatever you want to call them. So that will be coming up next. And later in the hour, or later in the show, we're going to talk about the context of what we're seeing here, because we're in our own bubble. We're watching every move of Cam Ward. We're watching only the Titans. There are 31 other camps going on, and some of the things that are happening here are happening other places as well. So it's important, I think, to have that perspective. But as D-Mates like to say, nobody cares about what's going on in other classrooms. Just tell me how are your grades in this class.
Exactly.
So with that, you referenced a brush fire, and you say it's time to put the brush fire out before it becomes something bigger. So what are you seeing there?
Yes, and I want to preface it by saying this. By no means do I think that because of what I'm seeing that, oh my goodness, it's just, you know, there's no coming back. This is going to be a, you know, dismal season. It's not that. It's just when you see things and you see them more than you should or more than you like, more than you're liking, especially someone that has been a part of that, you tend to, it makes you raise an eyebrow. Again, it's not a fire. It hadn't even begin to smoke. But I understand that the brush is over there, and unless we remove it, it's going to catch fire. And what I'm saying is this. The sidearm throws, we talked about even the other day that it was getting some balls batted down. More maybe to our liking, at least to my liking. And the talk was, well, should he change his mechanics? And I'm like, nah, you really don't want to mess with his mechanics, like an overall changing. But I think he's going to have to learn that some of those angles, they may look a little bit different here in the NFL. You probably can't throw as consistently these sidearms and whatnot. You can't throw it at the regularity you were doing it in college. It doesn't happen this way, but you got to find out how, when, and where you can do it, you know, within the plays. And he's had some balls knocked down, you know, in the first couple of days of practice, and it was like, okay, he'll get it, but they're still occurring. And it seems as if there hasn't been this going back. There hasn't been. It's only gotten worse and hadn't gotten any better. And it's a concern, because I think this is where you work on fine-tuning some of those things. You don't say, it'll be all right, I'll be fine, and then get into the season and it really gets ramped up and you're trying to now change how your mechanics slightly. Let's do it now. There's been too many, and I'm not a coach over there. I'm not hearing this from any, but from my eyes, there have been too many batted balls, just too many. And if no one finds that potentially alarming, something's wrong with you. Let's catch it right now so you don't have to deal with it when the season starts. Because make no mistake, when they go to Tampa and Atlanta, they're going to be coming. And if you get a ball or two knocked down, the scouting report now is going to be, get your hands up. He liked to throw it shoulder pad level. So you more than likely, if you keep rushing, you'll get to the ball. You may not get to the passer, but you'll get to the ball. I'm sure those are things that Brian Callahan is seeing. I cannot be the only person that's seeing this. But maybe Callahan, like me, thinks that, okay, I see it. I'm going to address it. I'm going to keep talking to him. But this is not a overhaul of his mechanics. We got to find out a way to tweak him just a little bit so when we get in those situations, the balls are not coming out sidearm or low at every play. You know, it's not a reoccurring thing. It may happen every once in a while because he has to do it, but it's not this reoccurring thing that gets him in trouble. And you say, well, Patrick Mahomes do it. Well, Patrick Mahomes, 6'3", I believe. He's at least 2 inches taller than Cam Ward. So maybe it's a little bit different for him, but this is where Cam Ward has to figure that out. I didn't like the question of, I've been doing this the longest. Yeah. Well, I know, but you got to change. You got to change something. You know, when you get to this league, just because you've been doing it for the longest, there's always something you got to tweak. Great players understand that. Good, like, guys that are destined for, they understand that. Yeah, I've been doing it this way my whole life. But now it may seem to be a little bit trouble. Let me try to tweak what I'm doing and see if that works. But to say I've been doing this forever, I know his confidence. I get it and I love it. But as a pro, you got to know, just because I've been doing this high school, college, doesn't mean I can continue to do this. I got to elevate my game.
I thought he was sharper today.
Yeah, sharper,
for the most part.
Yes.
I thought the timing was better. He had more throws that were quick and on time. They were working on third down today. So it was a different type of defense that he was facing. And so I liked a lot of what I saw, but you're right. I do think it is going to be something to watch. Practice in, practice out, and then obviously when the games start. Because you hit on it. They will have his tendencies backwards and forwards. They're going to have every rep, and they're going to see it with the different arm angles. So it's just like a hitter going up against major league pitching for the first time. You know, it's the rookie that's got all the talent. In batting practice, you're going to see these balls soaring out of the park. Hey, this guy can hit. And then, like in the movie Major League, hey, let's see if he can hit the curveball. Remember Serrano?
Yes.
And all of a sudden they realize, he can't hit the curveball. That's an extreme example. But they're going to know what he does well and what he doesn't, and they're going to try to expose his weaknesses. And so there's going to be a growth period. I think you're right. If he's stubborn and just basically says, I'll just keep doing it the way I've always been doing it, that's going to be a problem. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping, because it hasn't happened yet, he's still learning what he can do.
Exactly.
And I hope he's learning that the arm angles, some of the lanes that he's clearly been successful throwing in before, those lanes will not be there at this level. It's going to be more difficult. So I hope that he works his way out of this naturally before somebody has to go and say, Cam, we're making a rule. You can't throw sidearm. Like, I saw that happen. We had a guy, I'll bring it back to my experience, college basketball. Fortunately, it wasn't me this time. There were some rules probably put in for me. But we had a big man who just was not great at dribbling the ball. And we had to make a rule. One dribble. Big man, one dribble, and that's it. That's a rule. And it helped him not turn the ball over, right?
Exactly.
So I think that's what I think there's going to have to be. And I think Brian Callahan is letting him work itself out. But I wonder behind the scenes when they're going through the film, is like, all right, that lane might have been there in college. It's not going to be there in the NFL.
Exactly. And these are the things that you know, you're anticipating once they sort of – I will be able to get a better sort of gauge on it once they go against Atlanta in Tampa. And obviously the first couple of preseason games, you will get a feel of, is he now adjusting it? You know, it's game time, so now he's doing a better job at adjusting his throws. But I know there may be some people out there say, oh, he'll get it. Don't worry about it. He'll get it. I mean, you know, he did it in college. But my whole thing is, why say that? Why not try to fix it now before we even get to a point to where it becomes a problem? Because people, I will bet just about anything that I got or have that if it's not addressed in some way, shape, form, or fashion by those that are tasked to develop this quarterback, we are going to have some problems in the season. That's all I'm saying. I hope it doesn't happen. I'm sure Brian Callahan and you know, everybody else that's tasked to develop Cam, I'm hoping and I'm sure they're seeing the same thing that I'm seeing. But they got to find a way to do it within the mechanics that he has already established. How do we tweak it just a little bit? Because if you're not getting better in this game, you're closer to retirement than what you think. You're closer to being cut than what you think. If you're not getting better, if you're not improving, if you have a weakness and that weakness you have and you're not improving it, the coaches don't see the development in your weakness, you are closer to not being on this team than you are. I'm not saying Cam Ward is in that case because he's not. But I'm just, that's an example of if you're not working on yourself or if you're not working to get better in this sport, even the little things, if you're not working at those, especially at the quarterback position, then you're not going to spend too long underneath center. I know from what I've, you know, seen, from what we've heard, that Cam is a guy that he takes his job very seriously. So I just hope that everybody's recognizing this and do whatever they need to do to tweak it just a little bit. Again, it's not talking about overhauling his mechanics. No, that's not going to happen. If you got to overhaul his mechanics, you shouldn't have drafted him. I think it's a matter of, just like with any player that comes into the league, even the greatest ones, they had to tweak some things that first season as they started to get into practice and started to realize, hey, this ain't college no more, you know? Then they had to start tweaking their game just a tad bit. I'm sure that will happen with Cam, especially as we start to get into preseason games and then ultimately the regular season.
Here's a question I think is important, and I thought about this today. I've now watched him three times live at practice, and I'm trying to look past the mistakes because he threw another pick six today. You're going to hear all day about the pick six, right? I don't know what happened after we left. We did have to leave shortly before they finished practice, and we'll see what some of the comments are after practice. So we're going to talk about the mistakes in the context of what happens around the league with young quarterbacks. But here's what I'm asking myself, D-Mace. Mm-hmm. When you watch him, Cam Ward, do you see a freak in terms of tools and talent, as much the same or less than maybe you thought you were going to when you actually saw him on the field in a Titans uniform?
I think it's a little bit more than what I expected from this standpoint.
More than you thought,
but no, because from this standpoint, it's different to see someone on television and see them going through the motions.
That's
and
exactly
throwing a football.
Why I'm asking.
Yeah. It's different because you get a sort of a perception of a type of passer he is, the movements and everything else. But then when you actually see it in person, it's like, okay. And it was seeing it in person, even though the sidearm stuff, the low passes, that does need to be figured out. But seeing him in person, what I was expecting, I got, but even a little bit more. Not it's been from one extreme to the next. No, it's been a little bit more. Like, okay, this kid does look good throwing the ball. He needs to work on some things, right. But he does look good throwing it.
What about just physically?
Like physically, I think he
because I'll be honest, I don't know. Just the look. He doesn't look as physically. Like, oh my gosh, look at how he moved. It doesn't blow you off the page, first pick overall, kind of stuff. Like he's got the arm.
Yeah,
like
not many first round quarterbacks
some,
do that.
He throws some beautiful passes.
Yeah, all right, absolutely.
There's no, he's got the arm strength. Like when he moves, when he turns up the field to run, I just wonder how that's going to look when we get in the game. There are some guys that look one way in practice, and then in the game, there's another
totally
level. And I'm hoping we see that. But like you said, he's not super tall. He's not super fast. He's got a very good arm, no question. He's got the unique arm slot that we are going to have to see how he adjusts. But the term freak, like Javon Kearse, right, the freak, in this town, he's the freak, and he was the freak from basically the first practice.
Exactly.
And then certainly the first time he put the uniform on, we were like, oh, my gosh, this guy just got around the left tackle with the guy touching him.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, that's a freak. And Javon wasn't even the first pick in the draft, not even close. But I the word freak doesn't come to mind when I see Cam Ward, and maybe it's not supposed to, but I'm just curious about that part. Just raw talent.
Yeah. When it comes to quarterbacks, I don't think I've ever, beside like Lamar Jackson, where you or Michael Vick, you say, man, this kid, he's just
Lamar Jackson is a freak.
He's just different athlete.
Mahomes is in his own way.
In his own way, he's just a different athlete from the rest of the quarterbacks, as is Lamar Jackson. And they're different in their own way, in their unique way. When I look at Cam Ward, he looks like, based just like any other quarterback, you know, it's not like he's ripped like, you know, Will Levis.
That's another
6'5".
And again, it's going to be, as Hal Gill likes to say, get it done tivity.
Yeah.
He said, when I throw analytics at Hal, he says, here's my stat for you, get it done tivity. Like, he doesn't care how you look or what the analytics
and that's,
are you getting it
and
done?
That's
and that's what it's going to be.
Yeah, that's the thing with the quarterbacks. I don't care. Listen, be in shape, but I don't care if you got a six-pack. I don't care if your guns are as big as Hulk Hogan's. Can you throw the football? Can you read the defense? Can you get the ball to me or to the other receivers? That's all I care about. You ain't got to be – I don't want you lifting what I try to lift. I don't want you doing that, you know? Work on some other stuff.
But I thought I would see a little bit more. This is, once again, this is just my first impression, and I hope that it becomes a non-story. But I am curious what others think when they watch him live for the first time. Because the talent hasn't jumped off the page at me like I thought it might.
Now, from a talent standpoint, there has been a few moments, but then there has been moments where it's like, okay, he has some things to work on. He really does have some things to work on. And that's all a part of it. It's going to be that way. Listen, like I said yesterday, we were not in the camps with Jaden Daniels. We were not in the camps with Caleb Williams nor Drake May. We don't know what they were saying about C.J. Stroud when camp started. We didn't care because he wasn't our quarterback. And maybe some of those things that we see with Cam was happening with those quarterbacks, but we didn't care, you know? So I'm not saying this to you know, make it seem as if, you know, Cam is just out there just stinking up the joint, because he's not. He's learning. He's developing as a quarterback. But even in that development, as a former player that have watched quarterbacks be developed, you know, I don't know everything. I don't know it all, you know, but there are some things that I do know. And one thing I do know, if he don't get that straightened out, the Titans are going to have some problems, you know, consistently throwing the ball down the field.
When we come back, we've got a lot of texts already on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We're going to go through some of those. And then at the top of the hour, we're going to talk about how another young quarterback in this league is also having some of the same things said about him, and it's quite the circus. We'll get into that at noon today. We will have also Ask D-Mace at 12:30. So we're going to have a lot of fun on the show today. 615-737-1025. You're listening to DVD here on 102.5 The Game. Hey, don't forget, 102.5 The Game and Souls for Souls have teamed up for a back-to-school fundraiser. Souls for the 615. It provides new shoes for kids experiencing homelessness in Nashville. Help a child in Middle Tennessee to step into the new school year with confidence by donating $20. For a new pair of athletic shoes. For more info and to donate, visit thegamenashville.com/shoes. Souls for the 615 is sponsored by Macero in 12 South. Go check them out for handcrafted cocktails, bold plates, great happy hour, and elevated hospitality. Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. We're talking Titans training camp, and we're talking Cam Ward. You can join the discussion at 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Here is just, I think, the basic question that's an important one. Does Cam Ward seem to be trending upward during practices overall and not just focusing on the sidearm throws? He's looking beyond the issue we're sort of drilling down on today. What did you think overall? I did see some things that I'm like,
I think it, you know, overall, I think he's getting better. I think he's recognizing things. He's recognizing what the defense is doing. Today's, I thought the tempo was a little bit faster, quicker. And typically when that happens, that means, you know, a lot of times the quarterback is getting it. So you can kind of speed up the tempo in and out of huddle. Plays are a little bit more crisp. They're coming out because he's decisive. And again, you know, even the balls that were knocked down, he's going to the right guy. He sees it. It's just that disconnect, you know, when he throws the ball and it hits the pad. So just need to clean that up. But as far as like seeing it, understanding it, getting the ball out, I think he is developing from that standpoint. Listen, you're always going to have a day where you may either stay neutral or you may take a half a step back. It happens. But if you are taking more steps forward than you are backwards as a rookie, that's a good thing. And I think he's on that trajectory of being a rookie. He's having a rookie. He takes a few steps forward, and then he takes a step back.
Mm-hmm.
And then he takes another step forward. And sometimes he may stay at that place for the whole practice. He may not get any better or any worse. But that's the life of a rookie, especially a rookie quarterback.
I agree. Here are a couple of texts. And at the top of the hour, we're going to talk about that dynamic about how you challenge and throw a lot at a rookie to make him better. And you expect some steps back. Also, a couple of things we should point out there. Calvin Ridley did not practice this morning. They did not say they said it is not injury related. It's just rest.
Probably just a maintenance day.
They weren't going to practice originally. He had the cramps, and they verified it is not an injury to Calvin Ridley, because we were there at practice. When he pulled up, it got very quiet. Mm-hmm. He went down, and you're like, oh, boy, because we have seen around the league and around sports. I mean, hello, Tyrese Halliburton. When a guy holds his calf, you freak.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're like, is that the calf? It could lead to Achilles. What about Tyrese? He could be out for the season.
Started to freak out.
Like, and then you could tell that the way, you know, the massage and the trainers, like, okay, he should be all right. They feel like that's a cramp. Devondre Sweat also did not practice today. Nothing apparently serious or anything like that. He was not in there. Couple of texts. One texter with a 510 area code. I don't know that one off the top of my head. Titans had the opportunity to trade out of the first pick with the Giants. Could have gotten one of the quarterbacks that they obtained in the deal this year or next year, and they wouldn't be in the position they're in. They're now, with the loss of Will Levis, now they're going to be forced to trade with the Browns or the Giants anyway and give up more than they would in the first place. So we're skipping way ahead. I mean, this is the kind of thing we're trying to avoid.
Yeah.
We talked about that yesterday. They passed up a lot of picks to draft Cam Ward. That is going to be what they have to wear forever. But that being said, we know Cam Ward is not a finished product. This is not what we're talking. We're evaluating him by the day. And there's going to be good and bad.
And
it doesn't mean we think he's going to be awesome. Doesn't mean we think he's going to be a bust.
Yeah, and I think that's our job too. When we're out there, if we're out there every day, if we're out there every other day, tell you the story of how practice went based upon what we're seeing. And it's not like we're saying this is going to be the final product, but as fans of this team, especially those that can't make it, we try to give you a visual, you know, through words at what we were seeing. And some of it end up being good, some not so good. But it doesn't mean that we are all of a sudden writing a book on Cam Ward and say, oh, this is what he's going to be his rookie season. No, we don't know what he's going to be, but I know what I'm seeing now. And I see a quarterback that is having a rookie, you know, rookie experience at that position. Some day, you know, some periods are better than others. Some periods you want to forget about.
All right, here's another context question that is good for you. Mm-hmm. Here's the worry from a texter. Mm-hmm. I worried that if he's having trouble with the Titans' defense, which is not a great defense, how is he going to do against the rest of the NFL? Do you worry about that? I do look at the Titans' defense, and I don't see the Steel Curtain or the Doomsday defense or pick your favorite defense of all time, the 85 Bears. They clearly are not that. But at the same time, I'm not quite as wrapped up in that part of it yet. I'm just watching the mechanics, the timing, the things that I can process.
Yeah, because a lot of this stuff is let's throw at him, let's give to him, see how he processes it, and then see how he develops as a quarterback. So, again, a lot of it is just throwing stuff in and seeing how he reacts. So that's why it's not – I'm not sitting here, you know, putting a definitive, you know, grade or definitive, you know, whatever on Cam. It's just these are the things that I think he needs to get better at. And you expect him to get better at those things. If he doesn't, then we can address it if we don't see it happening. But at this point, these are the days. Someday, I want people to understand that there are some excusable days. And what I mean by excusable days, they are learning days. Let's throw it all at you. And if you mess up, it's excusable because this is the first time you're getting it. This is the first time you're seeing it. So we don't expect you to go 100 for 100 or come out with an A+.
You could design the practice that way.
Exactly.
As you said.
We can design a practice to complete passes and be an A+, and then people are getting rah-rah, but then we get in the game and all of that's out the window. You know,
exactly.
I can't structure a game like that. I can try, but it ain't going to happen. But what it is with Cam is, he's allowed to fail in practice. But also in his failure, you want to see if he's learning from those failures. That's why I look at the low passes and I say, I just see the brush over there. He's learning, so hopefully that brush gets swept away and we're fine. But if he's not developing, then that eventually is going to turn into something you don't want it to turn into.
You've segued right into the segment we're going to have at the top of the hour here. And here's another good text from a listener, Justin. He said, I have no confidence in Callahan, and Levis didn't improve last year. He got worse. Mason Rudolph didn't play very well. I don't know that I can trust them to take Cam Ward and coach him to be a starter in this league. Okay, so that's going to lead perfectly as well into our next segment. We're going to play you a clip from the MMQB podcast and the observation that one of their panel members, Albert Breer, had in watching a day of Chicago Bears practice and what's going on with Caleb Williams, a second-year quarterback. And there's a lot swirling around Caleb Williams, as we know. But he is last year's first pick in the draft. So we're going to find out what's going on up there. But there is a term I want you to familiarize yourself with, called fatalism. That is the term that Albert Breer used. I think it's an interesting term, and that text right there from Justin, there is some fatalism going on with the Titans fan base. Just the lack of confidence in anything they're doing. They've stunk for everything that's gone wrong. It's going to continue to go wrong because it always goes wrong. It's Amy Adams, it's all Rand Carthon, all these things. Nothing that they do can be right. And so you have to overcome that if you're Brian Callahan and Cam Ward. You're inheriting that to a large degree, and you have to move past it. So we're going to talk about the techniques and what they're trying to do. And we're going to look through the prism of the Bears when we come back and work it back to Cam Ward. Stay tuned. Hour number two of DVD is coming up.